Church, just reach over and take the person's hand beside you and just pray. You're just setting your agreement, but just say, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Come on, just make that your profession right there. Just cry out to the Lord and say, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Lord, we need more of you. We need more of you in our lives, Lord. Lord, we need more of you in our lives. We stand here tonight, Lord, as sponges that just want more of the anointing, more of you. Lord, as just hungry servants, Lord, here tonight that just want more of you, Jesus. We just want more of you. We just want more of you, Jesus. We need you in our lives. We need you in everything. We need you, Lord, in everything of our lives. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We just need more of you, Lord. We just need more of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Now squeeze that person's hand, look at them, say, you're going to get it tonight. Now, church, I've got something I just want to minister to you and let the Spirit of God just continue to speak to you. And, sweetie, if you guys, thank y'all. If you can just, I want to just share a little bit, and then I want you to come back up here and play because I want to pray for the people tonight. I want to show you something or share something here with you that God just got stirring in my heart. So get your Bibles out and go, if you would, to the book of Luke, chapter 1. Sometimes I don't always understand how God's putting everything together, but it always just amazes me when I begin to see it in His Word. How many of y'all have ever been distracted in life? You know, I preach that message on Sunday, you know, about just being distracted, and we get so, you know, that's it, just distracted. So this message kind of goes right along with this to take us like to the next step. Now, I'm just going to read just a little bit of this because I want to get into and pray for you here in just a minute. But in Luke chapter 1, you find the story of Zechariah going into the temple. Now, Zechariah was just going about his daily service, or it was his time. His number came up. I don't really know how they decided who went to the temple to do what, but whatever. His number came up, and it was his day to go in the temple, and everybody's standing outside waiting for him. And Zechariah goes in, and he is doing his daily, you know, things that he's done for years, things that he's done all the time, things that he's done, you know, routinely, you know. I don't know what his heart was that day specifically, but, you know, he just... How many of y'all know that there's a lot of things that we do that are just routine, right? And you just do it without even thinking. You just go through it and do it, and you just do it. So that's just kind of what I see him doing. But then something happens. It says in verse 13, but the angel of the Lord said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard. So apparently Zechariah was praying. He's praying about Elizabeth. He's praying about having a child. His heart was in prayer. Everybody say his heart was in prayer. You know, it's funny, God usually moves in our life and answers us in life when we're desperate. You know, when we've grown complacent, when everything's okay, when we don't have any problems, we don't have any issues, no burdens really upon our life. then you know what, you don't see God moving as much. But when you're hungry and you're desperate and you've got problems and you're crying out to God, and it would just be amazing if we keep ourselves hungry all the time, but we usually don't. So he says to him here that, you know, what's going to happen? And you go through there, you know, in verse 17, 18, he's telling about what his child's going to do. And then he says right there in 18, and Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this from? I'm an old man, my wife's well advanced in years. The angel said, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, who sent to speak to you and to bring these glad tidings. And behold, you'll be mute, not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which was fulfilled. I want to talk to you tonight about having a visitation of God. Okay? Zechariah had a visitation of God, but when he had the visitation here, he about blew it. And the only thing, the grace of God, he just struck him as a mute, you know, so that he didn't just defy God and tempt God in the whole situation and end up dying. So he just said, man, you're just going to shut up. So he struck him as a mute. So it was really the mercy of God. It wasn't the anger of God or the wrath of God. It was the mercy of God to get Zechariah to shut up. He's going to ruin everything that God had set up for him. How many times do you reckon that you should have been struck mute? Huh? All of us. I guarantee you. It's times that have been better if we just have been struck a mute. Okay? Now, go on down, and you see the visitation Mary had. And, you know, the angel comes to Mary and everything. But I want you to jump over. I want you to look over here at verse 39. So, you know, Mary, she answers right and talks to the angel. And she said, be it according to me, according to your word, 38 and 39. So Mary arose in those days. She went into the hill country. Went to the hill country. I never had seen that. Let me underline that one. I might need that later for another message. She went to the hill country with haste, and she entered the city of Judah and entered the house of Zechariah to greet Elizabeth, 41. And it happened that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. When you have a visitation from God, it changes you so much that it gets off of you and gets on somebody else. She literally caused John to get baptized in the Holy Ghost by her presence. I mean, it's pretty impressive, right? I mean, I don't know. I've never been a pregnant woman, but I mean, that would be pretty impressive if some pregnant ladies got together and all of a sudden the baby leaped and got full of the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's pretty cool, right? So having a visitation from God, when God really visits you, when he comes in, I'm not talking about you just feel his presence. I'm not talking about you just get a tingly feeling because you really like the music or something like that. I'm talking about God visits you. It changes you. When God visits you and comes into your life, whether your first experience is salvation or, you know, whenever this, you know, that visitation from God, when he comes into your life, it literally changes you. You're never the same. And it causes you to change other people. All right? Okay. Now let's just go on. I know I'm moving along kind of quickly here, but I want to show you a few things. And then we're gonna take some time to pray here. Go to Acts, Book of Acts, chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9. You know, the Apostle Paul, or Saul at this time, was, you know, going around. He's doing everything wrong. He's doing nothing but walk in religious ways. He's doing everything wrong. He thinks he's doing God a service by persecuting Christians. All right? So, Jesus needs to change him. Now, Saul had a good heart. He just had it in the wrong direction. So, verse 4 says, he fell on the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So God literally showed up in his visitation to the Apostle Paul, or at this time Saul. He showed up in such a way so profound that it knocked him to the ground, right? He went blind. He had a major change, but he knew he met Jesus, right? And then Ananias goes to him, right? Lays hands on him. You know the story. He gets his eyesight back. Terms that greatest apostle, wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, right? All because he had a visitation, right? Okay, look down at chapter 10. Chapter 10, the story of Cornelius. Cornelius, it says he was a devout man. Verse 2, he feared God with all of his household. He gave alms generously to the people, and they prayed to God always. I mean, this is a good guy. Right? About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw a vision, an angel coming to him, saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms have come up before as a memorial to God. And so he has this visitation, tells him to what? Okay, if you read the story and you go on, then Peter comes to his house. Peter has a visitation up on top of the roof. Goes and all this happens, baptism of the Holy Ghost. People are getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Begin to see right here at this story, Cornelius, the Jews begin to see that the gospel is not just to a Jewish people, but it's to all mankind. And so literally the visitation of Cornelius caused there to be a whole theology set forth, a whole understanding of God, a whole understanding of what he was doing to be set forth because of the visitation of Cornelius. Y'all following me? Okay. Now go back to the book of Luke. I'm showing you that because I'm trying to get somewhere here. Go to Luke 19. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it. Don't I tell you where I'm reading? 41. Luke 19, 41. Jesus is looking over Jerusalem. Now, as he drew near, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they're hidden from your eyes. When Jesus looked over Jerusalem, he was looking over Jerusalem and he was knowing that he was going to the cross. He was knowing that everything that he was going to do for mankind, to see salvation come into mankind, and he's walking in the streets. You know what it would have felt like to be in your hometown, your main capital city, the main seat of religious knowledge of that day, and that all say they worship Jehovah God, your Father, and you're walking through there all day long, and no one wants to listen to what you've got to say. They're not listening to him. The religious people are not listening to him. Okay? And he begins to weep over the city, and he says, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. In other words, they missed it. Jesus was crying because they missed it. It was right there. The visitation of God was right there for their lives to change people and to bless people and to help people, and they missed it. You know what it was like walking by sick people, looking at them, and they didn't have faith to be healed, and he knew he couldn't operate in their lives. Do you know, it's one thing as a pastor, as a minister, I feel sometimes like I know this may sound funny to you, but sometimes I feel like it's worthless. Everything I do is worthless. That there's so many people out there in the world that don't know, that won't listen. You're trying to tell them and you're trying to help them and you're saying, oh God, don't go down that road, and nobody wants to listen to me. And I'm standing up and I'm saying, oh, it's a crazy preacher, you know? And I'm like, stop, what are you doing, my Lord? Can't you see you're going into the fire? And here's Jesus, what he's feeling. He's feeling the heart of his Father, that people are out there and they're not listening, and that it's going and that it's falling into the ditch and perishing. He's like, my God, it's set up this day. I am the Son of God, and nobody wants to listen to him. And he says here, he goes on, he says, man, this was your day to make for your peace. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I do not want to miss my visitation. I do not want to get so distracted in life that I miss my visitation. Because in the visitation comes my peace. Are y'all following me here? In my visitation comes the peace. Man, I want to walk in peace. Listen, I can tell you, Money does not buy you happiness. You know, it's funny, when you don't have money, it's easy to say that. Right? Because you really don't know if it would or not. You don't have it, so you might as well just be happy anyway. So. But I can tell you from experience of being around people that have money, money does not buy you happiness. Things are not going to buy you happiness. I want peace. Do y'all want peace? I want peace. I want to be able to have peace, you know, in the midst of the storm. And it comes because you know the day of your visitation. Or, if you can say it this way, you know what God's doing in your life. Now, he goes on here, and he says, For the day will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. So that tells me things could have gone differently had they known the time of the visitation. So that means destruction did not have to come, but destruction was a consequence of the people not knowing what was going on in their times and in their life that caused that to happen. Right? The saddest thing for me is seeing people that could be walking in victory, could be walking in happiness, could be walking in peace, but they've made the wrong choices, and they've made the wrong choices, made them make the wrong choices, made them make the wrong choice, that's made them make the wrong choice, and the wrong choice, and the wrong choice, and they miss the visitation of God, they miss the peace of God, they miss the place of God, they miss everything of God, and then what happens is you keep making the wrong choices, eventually your enemy sets up camp at your house, builds an embankment around you, and destroys you. And it's all because they don't know the time of their visitation. They don't know that Jesus is right there for them in their lives. It's sad. Because knowing what they're doing, you know their destruction's coming. And it's sad. I'm kind of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. What I've learned about my life. When I get so much of the pain that I can't take it anymore, then I just become cold-hearted. Say, oh, you deserve it. Just take it and eat it and shut up. I'm honest with you. That's just what happens to me. When I can't take any more of the pain, the shut off mechanism in me is just to shut off and then just go tough on the other side and say, tough. Should have been smarter. And I think it's a lot of us. You just throw up the wall because you can't take the pain anymore. And it to me is despairing to be trying to get somebody to see that this is the day of their visitation and they can't see it. So I was praying, I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you do? I mean, you didn't do anything but wept over the city. What can we do? What can we as a church, what can we do to help people not end up with their enemies surrounding them, getting ready to destroy them? Okay? And I'll tell you the simple thing he told me. Go to the book of Psalms 51. Verse 17. Psalms 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Go look over at Psalms 34. Verse 18. The Lord is near those who have a broken spirit and saves such as have a contrite heart. Word contrite means just means humble. And the Lord told me, so the only thing you can do for everybody else is just keep your heart right. Can he come play? Just keep your heart right. Us. Just keep our hearts right. That's the only thing we can do for those. Because see, if your heart's not right, then what happens is you miss your visitation. And if you miss your visitation, you know what happens? You can't help anybody else. And Bruce, you and Frankie, come here. I'm going to pray for y'all. I saw this afternoon because I'm burdened with people on drugs and alcohol. Partly because of the situation I'm in, living in the middle of it with these, you know, people. But the other thing is that I was thinking about the destruction in people's lives. And then I was praying about it, and then today I ran across somebody that said, hey, I ran across somebody, I told him, you need to go to Bruce's meeting. And then I went across somebody else later and said, hey, you need to go to Bruce's meeting. There's like two people in town, two different people. And I was like, wow, this is good, Lord. You're stirring something up in people. But what got me was, what he said to me was, you know, they're telling him the answer. See, get out of the destruction, change your ways, have a visitation of God. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to encourage you tonight and tell you that something's going to happen. And I don't think we should look for, you know, burning bushes and, you know, whatever. But I'm just saying, you're just going to see something happen with people that are bound and destroying their lives in drugs and alcohol. I'm not putting a date. I'm not saying when. But I'm just saying God told me to encourage you. That the visitation is going to come that will set them free. And when the visitation comes, it sets them free. Then they're not going to be in that destructive pattern anymore because he's going to deliver them out. And all you can do is keep your hearts right. And the person that you have to minister to is you, between you and Jesus. Because when you keep your hearts right, then he can use you to minister to them. But if your hearts ever get wrong, you know, you get discouraged or despaired or get distracted in life or get off over here and get to look at this thing. Well, then you know what? You miss the visitation. So I'm just going to lay hands on you guys and I'm just going to believe God that everything, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I just believe God for a visitation that sets the captives free. Lord God, a visitation that you're using these men, Lord, to minister to people that are caught and they've missed their visitation. They've missed their day. They've missed their moment. They've missed the time of God in their lives. And now the enemy's built up a camp around their lives. And Lord, I just pray right now that they will be free, and that they'll come from the north and the south and the east and the west, and because Jesus of your presence, that they will have a visitation, that you will use Bruce and Frankie, Lord God, to usher those people into the presence of God, that Jesus, you can set them free. And Lord, we vow to you to keep a contrite heart and to keep a broken spirit and a contrite heart before you, Lord, and just humble ourselves and keep ourselves at your feet, learning and growing, And then you got to do all the rest, because we can't do anything, Lord. We can't do anything. We can't do anything. But you can do everything. And so, Lord, I set my agreement with them this night. I just declare that the anointing of God moves every Tuesday night. And that you just set up. Wow. Lord, you just set up sinners around that people are set free and delivered. And it's a simple thing, not a hard thing. A simple thing, not a hard thing. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Now the second, you guys just stay there and worship, whatever you want to do. The second thing I feel like we need to pray for tonight is if you feel like you've missed your visitation. And that's the only way I know how to put it. It's got to speak to your heart. That you maybe missed your visitation. And that you want all the enemy's camps destroyed around your life. And you want to have, you know, maybe a new, fresh visitation from God, or a new pattern set, or something like that. Well, then I want to pray for you too, because I believe something special tonight. Something special tonight. And that's just going to have to be the Holy Ghost just speaking to your heart. But I just believe that tonight can be a destiny changer for you. God can just do something to set the wheels in motion. Let's come and just stand here and just worship. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
The Lord saying earlier that buy all for me. Buy all for me. Buy all for me. I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, empty your cup of pride and come forth, and I'll fill your cup.
Yeah.
That's the cost.
Yeah. Contrite heart. Contrite heart. Now, I'm just going to lay hands on you and just pray, and God's going to have to do whatever God's going to do. Father, I just declare it in Jesus' name that a new visitation, Lord, in life, a new course set in life, Lord. Lord, that the walls of all the enemy, the lies and the deceptions of the enemy, the strongholds that he set up or get broke, torn down, destroyed. And Lord, that you set up a new way, a new path, a new course because of the visitation. Lord God, a new visitation, a new fresh visitation in their lives. Lord, just a new, fresh visitation in their lives. Lord, just a new, fresh visitation in their lives. Just a new, fresh visitation in their lives. Gates being torn down. Gates getting kicked open. Expansion. Lord, just expansion in life. Just expansion in life. Lord, just a new and fresh visitation. Just a new and a fresh visitation. Just a new, fresh visitation coming. Jesus, an enlargement, just an enlargement. Jesus, 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 a new visitation, just a new visitation, a fresh new visitation. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. That every place the enemy's set up, every place the enemy's tried to build, a lie that he's told, a whisper, destroyed. Just destroyed. Just destroyed. Jesus, 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 Jesus. A fresh and new visitation of God. That every obstacle, every rope, every stumbling block, everything that's ever been set up by the enemy, destroyed in Jesus' name. Just destroy it in Jesus' name. Wow. You know, church, while I'm praying for these people, things that I'm feeling in my heart, worry can be an obstacle. Worry can be a wall. Anxiety can be a wall that the enemy set up against you to keep you from your day of peace and your day of visitation. And I really feel like there's deliverance going on in here tonight. You know, God is breaking walls down, and there's a deliverance going in here and breaking all this stuff down of fear and anxiety. And it's not just, you know, other things. It could be, but it's just that God, oh, Lord, just destroying it so there's a fresh visitation. And our hearts just cry out for you, Lord. Our hearts just cry out for you, Lord, for that fresh visitation. Wow. Just every stone rolled away. You know, I'm just going to say this. If it speaks to you, it's fine. If not, well, you know, I ate too much pizza or something. But I see a broom. And it's like God's saying, he's telling me, throw the broom away. Get that. It's like I can see him chunking it out the house, out the window, a broom. And he's saying, no more do you have to sweep it all up. And you let me do it. You let me do it. Wow. Fresh visitation of God. Fresh visitation of God. Just keep worshiping there. You know, I can see, I see more to the message that as the enemy and troubles in life come against us, what he's doing is he's setting up those walls to keep us from having the visitation of the Lord. He's trying to build up those hedges and those walls and all that stuff around us through these other just things that happen in life, so that Jesus just doesn't come walking in. He can't walk in. He's got to get over all of the junk and the yuck and the muck to get in there to us. But as long as we keep our hearts right, as long as we're yearning for him, as long as we're sitting there saying, oh Lord, I just want to have more of you, and pride's not in the way, you know, pride's not getting in our lives. I mean, it's like, oh, wow, that's silly. But I mean, like, if you owned a really ugly dog that everybody laughed about, you know, after a while, if you really loved the dog, you'd start taking up for the ugly dog. Start trying to tell everybody, well, he's not really that ugly. And then you start getting mad about it, and you start getting offended about it. And then you start saying, don't talk about my dog. He thinks he's ugly, but she's beautiful. And before long, you didn't even know it. You've isolated yourself from people. Nobody wants to go around you because you're the guy that's got the ugly dog who's mean. Am I making any sense? Or am I just lost in my own little world having fun up here? Because what happens just is we build up those walls around us, and then pride keeps us from just letting the Lord come in and the Lord minister to us. So we got to be careful about this. We don't want Jesus to have to be weeping over our lives because he wants to have a visitation with us and he can't get in. Or we're not listening, or we're not hearing. Like Bruce is dealing with some of the people in the most severe situations, you know. Their whole lives are being destroyed and destroying everybody around them and can't see it. I've got a guy I've been trying to minister to who absolutely is destroying his life and everybody's life around him. And I try to talk to him, it's everybody else's fault but his. And I'm like, I'm to the point now I just want to punch him in the face. It's the flip side, you know. I mean, it's not nice, but I've thought about it. Thought I might enjoy it. But that's what happens. Those walls get up and it gets so big and so thick. I mean, look at that wall. Jesus on the other side, he couldn't come through that wall. If we built it up with our lives, our lies. So church, listen to me. It's about the heart. Because a yearning heart, Jesus will get through anything and anywhere to get to you. The moment you sit down and just say, nah, whatever, and you lose that yearning heart, the enemy's setting up walls and your destruction's coming. Your destruction's coming. And I don't know about y'all, I like peace. I like peace. However peace comes, peace is sitting under a tree. Peace just doing something simple. Just peace. I really don't think the Lord's through tonight. So let's just pray here for a minute. Lord, just keep playing. Jesus, I just thank you. It's our greatest desire to not be distracted. And oh Lord, this world's so full of distractions. So full of distractions. And I just believe us to be delivered tonight, Lord. Delivered. From any stronghold the enemy would have tonight. We're delivered. We're delivered from worry. We're delivered from fear. We're delivered from anything, Lord, that the enemy would set up against us. And I just declare it. That, oh, how great you are, Lord. Oh, how great you are. Just thank him there, church, for your deliverance. Oh, God, thank you for my deliverance. Thank you for my deliverance, Lord. Oh, praise you, Lord. Amen. So, you know, I guess you got to get out every day and kind of survey your property of your heart. See if enemy's setting up camp, building any walls, putting anything up. You know, on the same note, for my birthday, my daughter, she bought me a CD that's a book. You know, I mean, y'all probably listen to these things all the time. I've never listened to a CD book before, an audio book. I never listened to one. And so when I went to Bethany the other day, you know, I had 6 hours down there and 6 hours back, so I took it with me and I started listening to it. It was about the Civil War. It was a book all about the historical things about the Civil War, and I was listening to this thing, and the one thing that amazed me, when you were listening to this book, that, you know, here's the North over here and here's the South over here, and these guys are making decisions and these guys are making decisions, and some people are telling people to make, you know, to go do something, and then that person changes and he doesn't do it, and how the effect of not being obedient to do what you were told to do affected the outcome of the war. Literally, the South would have won Gettysburg and probably won the Civil War if one general had done one thing. And he made the wrong decision. He didn't follow orders. He made the wrong decision. He let fear get in his way. And if he had just done one little thing, all those men's lives would have been spared. War would have gone the other way. But he didn't make the right decision. And I was listening to that thing, and I stopped, just shut it off and started praying. I said, oh, God. It scares me sometimes when I listen to that stuff because I don't want to make the wrong decision. I really don't want to make the wrong decision. And it made me feel one way how we need to have caution in life, right? And pray about everything to make the right decision. But when it really boils down to it, the only thing that can get you in the right place is your heart staying hungry for God. And as long as you keep that part done, Proverbs 16:1, right? The answers to the lips are, preparation of the heart belong to man, but the answers to the lips are from the Lord. It's up to us to keep our heart prepared. It's up to us to keep our heart right. It's up to us to keep our heart done, and then the Lord puts everything in order. But when the heart's wrong, it's not going to work. Amen? Well, praise God. This is a little different tonight, but bless God. I think it's the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So we all got an assignment to do. Heart. Heart, check the heart adjustments and heart situations of life. Well, glory. Is this Sunday, a first Sunday? Okay. So we have a communion Sunday. And then Kimberly and we've got a problem. Yuri's not going to be able to be here. Because Kimberly and Bethany and Andrew are all gone from the orphanage, and so he has to do there and do Sunday services, and so he's not going to make this trip. So we'll have to get him back up next time. So Kimberly and Bethany will be here Sunday morning. So they'll be ministering. So make sure and get somebody to come and hear them. Amen? So if you need an offering envelope, lift your hands. Bill will get you one. Put your hand over your offering. Let's pray. Father, we just praise you and we just thank you for everything that you give us in life and everything that you do for us in life. Just believe you, Lord God, that Living Waters Church continues to be a prosperous church and a giving church, and that you prosper us in ways that we can't even imagine, Lord. that you send in finances from the north, the south, the east, and the west. You send in, you bless businesses and bring in new businesses, and things just happen, Lord God, that cause there to be great, great victory, that we can continue to rescue orphans and widows and preach the gospel around this world. And Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Anything else, sweetheart? Praise you, Jesus. Well, stand to your feet. Well, Lord, I just believe you tonight for awesome, awesome dreams tonight. I believe you for visitations in the night. I believe you, Lord God, over these people just to be the awesome, blessed hand of God upon them. And so, Lord, I thank you for it. Bless them, Lord, and just give you praise for them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.